Hi, everybody. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And you're listening to A Date with Dateline. This episode is called Collision. Probably the most accurate title they've had in a long time. A title that actually makes sense.
A little bit.
I mean, not a little bit. It made sense. This episode aired on July 21st, 2017, season 25, episode 41, hosted by the lovely Andrea Canning, who we'll talk about her clothes later. She didn't seem to stick to one color palette as much as last week.
I wondered if you'd be disappointed because it means your theory is wrong.
Yeah, my theory that she's going to go with a different paint sample color scheme of her blouses each episode.
She was all over the map this time.
She was all over the map. This episode takes place in San Antonio, Texas. Another episode briefly featuring the Alamo. I do not know why they feel the need to remind us that the Alamo is in every single episode that is in San Antonio. We know where the Alamo is. Are they paid by the Tourist Bureau of San Antonio? This is what I'm wondering. They're like, what would you like us to promote? They want us to remember the Alamo. Big time.
They do.
How could we forget? So this episode is about Bill and Frances, who have been married for 32 years since they were teenagers. They got together and they have two kids. And it is 2013. Frances, the wife, gets a mysterious call from a woman saying, I'm having an affair with your husband. So Andrea, right away, I feel like, is a little pissed that there's a mistress and desecrating a 30-year marriage. She's already like, that's three decades of marriage. Andrea's a married lady. She has reverence for it. Frances goes home and asks Bill, and Bill, her husband, says, yes, it's been going on for 3 years, which she's like, that's not a mistress. That's not an affair. That's a full-on relationship.
And wait a minute. Didn't she get the call at home? She got the call at home.
I don't know. I just said she went home. She maybe was at the store. She was on her cell phone. It was 2013.
She was on her phone.
She could have been anywhere.
So she got the infamous
mistress
call.
There was no Walmart in this episode. So let's just say that she was at Walmart. Although these people are rich.
They were wealthy. Yeah. They were not at Walmart. She was at Macy's. She was at Nordstrom's.
They got married when they were poor and had nothing. And he built this business for them that was like $15 million. Big rigs.
Trucking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His passion was big rigs, they said. I forgot that part. His other passion was the ladies. There was a lot of passion, actually, in this episode. Passion comes up a lot.
Passion played a big part in this episode. That word is not thrown around lightly.
No. Andrea interviews the mistress, whose name is Bonnie, and she refuses to be called a mistress because she is not a side piece, as I learned that phrase. Really, I knew the phrase, but on Twitter, everyone just called her a side piece like it was the official term for a mistress. It's gone out of the slang vernacular and it's become, you know, Merriam-Webster's, it's a side piece. It's not like a cool slang. Everyone was calling it that on Twitter. Moms, just everyone. My mom might know what a side piece is. So this mistress does not want to be called a mistress. And Andrea has a little bit of judgy face, but she hides it really well. She was a professional in this episode. You could tell a lot of times she was thinking some stuff in this episode. Someone even tweeted a great image of the one time she kind of lost her cool and kind of smiled and laughed. She just couldn't take it. So Andrea's like, what is it about that word that bothers you? Just cuts like a knife. Because you are a mistress. Bonnie is a 28-year-old single mom when she meets Bill. Okay, A, I see your face. We never see her child. She never talks about being a single mom ever. But she was a single mom.
I wrote it down, too, and it still just now clicked with me hearing you say it. I forgot she was a mom. You never once...
No. Hashtag, where is her child? Because she never mentions the child. She never mentions Bill's relationship with the child. We don't know. But why would a man, he has children, they're grown, maybe he likes children and his children are now in college. So he finds another younger woman with a child. I don't understand. He saw her at the spinach festival and thought she was sexy.
Where was she working?
Chicken on a stick booth.
Chick on a stick. Chick on a stick.
Chick on a Stick booth. The week find out later that she did some stripping, and so Chick on a Stick makes me think of stripping.
It was my one of my alternative titles. I mean, Chick on a Stick got me too, because logistically, how does that, chicken's on a bone. What are you putting on a stick? You're just putting a grilled chicken breast on a stick? I don't want that.
I don't eat meat, so I don't understand.
But I eat meat. And what am I,
Maybe it's like a kebab.
Okay, then why, okay.
But I think it's more just a chunk of meat on a stick. Like a huge chunk of meat just slid onto a stick. That's how I was picturing it. But there had to be some spinach on there, because otherwise why are they at the spinach festival?
How are you putting spinach on a stick?
I don't know.
I gotta look it up. And if any of our listeners have ever eaten chick on a stick, can you just, you know, email us, tweet, let us know what it's all about.
I want to picture her. And if she was wearing a uniform of some kind. Because at Hot Dog on a Stick, they wear very specific uniforms. Anyways, so she meets him at this, we got the spinach festival. She checks out his hand and sees no wedding ring at the spinach festival. And they fall in love. She was not expecting it. That's what I think maybe happened, is he was not looking to fall in love either. And then sees her and just thought she was hot. And then maybe she didn't mention her kid. Like, he didn't mention his wife. And then it got more serious. That's possible. And then he's like, now I'm really in deep with this chick and her kid. But it doesn't seem like the kid was around that much.
Wait, but he told her he was separated.
Yeah, he did. So Bill told Bonnie that he was going through a divorce. And he fondly calls Bonnie his gorda. As Andrea says, we get a little Andrea voiceover saying his chubby lady. Which, what? That's a term of endearment. She loved
Bonnie
it.
Bonnie says, I loved it.
Okay, I need to become Hispanic yesterday, if that is a term of endearment. I am all over that.
But then he called his wife mija?
No, vieja.
Yes. Vieja?
Which means old lady.
Oh, that's rough. But yeah. I feel like when you see the pictures of Bill, you see this smiley, he seems like such a wonderful guy that he could call you whatever. Sure, he calls you gorda. Sure, he calls you old lady. And it's endearing and sweet because it's Bill. But Bonnie seemed to subscribe to the Kim Kardashian brand of boobs and butt and tiny waist and tight clothing, right?
Yeah, she definitely wore one of those minimizer waist things that the Kardashians.
Waist cincher.
She totally bought those when they advertised those. Bonnie, they went on vacations together and he bought her a diamond ring, but the most.
5 carat. That's
five
a big
carats?
Diamond ring. 5 carat. That's hundreds of thousands of dollars. 5 carat.
Wow.
But also Bonnie could have been lying.
No, the picture was huge, unless it was fake.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know much about that, but it could have been a cubic zirconium. The biggest gift of note besides the ring and the vacations where they kissed dolphins on the nose and the dolphin was probably like, ew, Bonnie, get away from me, was these big breast implants. And Bonnie clarifies to Andrea that she was never really that small in the first place. She has to clarify that so we know that she was never really that small. She was like a B. And Andrea is looking at her with such just side eye, just can't with her. But now they're huge. I don't know what size they are now, but they're large. And she proudly shows them off in photos. A lot of photos. Yeah.
A lot of bodycon clothing on that girl.
Yes. So Bonnie's story, this is where they first differ in their stories. Bonnie says she never called Francis out of the blue and said, I'm sleeping with your husband. She says that her and Francis had talked on the phone several times, normal conversations about dividing up property in the divorce and what the divorce would cost them. Who is telling the truth? Those are two totally different stories. But apparently, this is where we kind of get another source, because we really don't know who to believe, is Bill's brother, Hank.
Hank.
So Hank confirms that Bill cannot decide between the ladies and is basically totally in a relationship with both of them and is going back and forth. Okay, so this is where the big day starts.
October 10th, 2013.
Okay, so Frances is driving in her Cadillac Escalade because they got some money. She sees Bill coming in the opposite direction on his motorcycle. And behind him is their family's Range Rover. And it's being driven by Bonnie, the mistress, who doesn't want to be called a mistress. So she says that Bonnie flips her off. And Frances is incensed. She calls her daughter. There's lots of dialing of phones. I hope it was hands-free because it seems really dangerous. She calls her daughter and says, I'm going to go confront her right now. And the daughter's like, go for it, Mom. Great idea. It's a terrible idea. So she flips a U and she starts to chase them on the freeway. She is seeing red. She has no idea what her plan is. She keeps saying, I asked Bonnie to turn to pull over so we could talk. I don't really know if she's shouting out the window or driving up alongside her on the wrong side of the road. Because I think
it's both.
Okay. So she's acting like a maniac. So she's like, pull over, Bonnie. We need to talk. I don't know what her plan was here. So she says Bonnie keeps brake checking her, aka slamming on the brakes, making Frances have to slam on the brakes. So now they're just driving totally erratically. Bill in the front, and then Bonnie, the mistress, and then Frances in the back. And Frances says she has tunnel vision. She is just focused on Bonnie. But Bill sees this altercation, and he slows down and kind of pulls off to the side. This is what Frances says. He kind of pulls kind of on the side and behind them a little bit. Frances keeps chasing after Bonnie. And Bonnie is alternately braking and speeding up, I think. At some point in this chaos, Frances hears this thump. And she thinks it's the granite. There's a slab of granite in the back for a home renovation project that had been sliding around every time she had to slam on the brakes because Bonnie was slamming on the brakes. So she hears this thump and she just thinks that it's the granite. She sees Bonnie do a U-turn and Frances follows her and does a U-turn. At this point, she notices that her back passenger window is shattered and she doesn't see Bill's motorcycle anymore. So again, she calls her daughter, which makes zero sense to me, and says, I can't see your dad. I don't know what's happening. Why would you terrify your daughter like that? Why would you take the time to call your daughter? How is there even time for all of these phone calls? She drives to where she thought Bill was, and already there are cops there. So I feel like they must have gone pretty far past where she heard the thump, because the cops already got there. So he's injured. He says he can't breathe. He has internal injuries, and his boot fell off. Or like both boots flew off during what we assume is the thump. And Frances still is totally confused as what's happening. She says Bill calls to her and wants her to go with him to the hospital. Frances, the wife, is now handcuffed and can't go in the chopper to the hospital. Unfortunately, Bill dies at the hospital from his injuries. So it's an undisputed fact that Bill was hit by Frances.
He hit the car or she hit him. But the motorcycle collides with the Escalade.
Right.
One way or another.
Right.
Yeah.
So the wife killed the husband either in an accident or on purpose, or he hit her. Those two collided. So that's...
He ends up dead. Yeah.
He ends up dead. Now we get to hear Bonnie, the mistress's side of the story. Because her
I'm not a mistress.
She is a side piece.
Side piece.
A proud side piece. Bonnie says that Bill was staying at her house that day. He's taken a nap. And she wakes him up and says, we have to go pick up the bike because there's a bike rally the next day. Whatever that is. I don't know. It's not my world. So Bonnie is driving. That's how Bonnie is driving the SUV and Bill is driving the bike. They're driving down the highway. Apparently at a stoplight, he pulls over. I don't know where there was a stoplight. It must have been before they got on the freeway. This is her story. I don't buy it. He pulls over and says, Gorda, I love you so much. I'm just so happy right now. And that was the last time she ever saw him or heard his voice. Really?
Be honest with me. Do you think there's any chance that that happened?
I think there's zero chance that happened. I think if he did pull over, he was like, I got to use the crapper. Let's stop at the Del Taco. That's what I think their conversation was probably. But she's like, no, that's not romantic enough.
God.
I know. Bonnie is the worst. So
barf.
Bonnie says they're driving. They don't ever see Francis coming from the opposite direction and doing a U-turn. She says they're driving along, you know, Bill is in front of her, and then she starts to feel getting hit from behind. She gets hit repeatedly from behind. She looks in the back, and that's when she sees Francis in her rearview mirror for the first time. She says she was hit so hard that her purse threw to the floor, and that at one point she was pushed so hard she was pushed into oncoming traffic. The next thing she knows, she looks in the rearview mirror, and Bill is now between the ladies. So it's a Bill sandwich. And Bill is in between, and she's watching this all in her rearview mirror, and she says she sees Francis hit Bill from behind in between their cars, and he goes flying, and then she sees Francis just keep driving, following her down the street. So she's freaking out, and she flips a U-turn again. She flips a U-turn for the first time, and she goes back to the accident site, and there are cops and the whole thing. Francis, the wife, is charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and murder. But Francis and the daughter, Nikki, who's grown up, they both say it's all Bonnie's fault, that she has been terrorizing their family for the past month, that she's a gold digger, she's a stalker, she's a stripper, and she's a liar. A lot of this information came from Bill, apparently. Bill was saying all this. But we don't know if Bill was saying all this as, oh, she's crazy, I can't get rid of her, instead of saying, I love her and want to get married. We were taking the cheater's word for it on a lot of this. I believe that Bill told them all this about her, but I kind of do think it's true. But do you know what I'm saying?
You do think it's true, though.
I do, that she's a gold digger, yeah. But I don't know if Bill, but I do think he probably is trying to save his own skin and saying, I'm in deep with this girl and I can't get out and she's crazy. He says that the reason she first called and told Francis about the affair was because she was mad that Bill wouldn't give her $100 for a manicure. She must be doing eyebrows, waxing. A ton of people on social media pointed out her massive sideburns. They were like Elvis. So she needed to go get waxed nails, pedicure,
threading,
upper lip, threading, the whole nine yards, because $100, yes, well, I don't know what that is, but yes, $100 for
insane.
A manicure, and she got pissed, and so she called Francis and was like, I'm sleeping with your husband. That's Bill's story, but Bill's dead now, we don't know. So Bill told Bonnie, and apparently the daughter, I don't know why the daughter had to get involved in all this, maybe Bonnie told the daughter.
I think they're really close. I think Francis and Nikki are really close. Mom and daughter are tight.
Because
like
again, why else would you call and go, I just killed your dad. I don't know where he is. I can't see him. I'm on the freeway. Why would you call in the middle of an accident, basically, and freak out your daughter?
I think they were that kind of family.
That made me judge her parenting a little, because I would have left the daughter out of it. Like, don't call and go, your dad's missing. I don't know where he is. Oh, he's on the side of the road. Take care of your daughter. Go to her after and go, honey, something happened. So Bill says that Bonnie was stalking all of them on Facebook. She had reached out and friend requested every cousin, every aunt and uncle. She would watch and see what they were doing. So like
with a fake account. She created a fake account to do it.
Yeah. She's stage 5 clinger. So someone on Twitter said that I totally stole it. So Bonnie was gathering information to manipulate him. That's what Bill would say. He would say, if we went on vacation and she saw that on Facebook, then I had to take her on a vacation. She threatened him to air their affair online, and that's why he couldn't leave her. That was his excuse.
She said she had over 2,000 pictures of them together.
It was a lot of pictures. So Francis says Bonnie stalked all of them. She knew their schedules, and Nikki, the daughter, said she even followed Francis and Bill into a movie theater and sat 3 rows behind them when they were on like a date night, which is really weird if that's
so
true.
So creepy. Yeah. So creepy.
Again, if it's true. They say that Bill asked, I'm just trying to give her the benefit of the doubt. So
why?
I know, you're giving me Andrea Canning face right now.
I am.
So Bill, this is another huge discrepancy. So we knew that Bonnie had gotten the boob job paid for by Bill as a present. According to Nikki and Mom Frances, Bill had asked Bonnie to get an abortion because she got pregnant. And the deal they made was that she would get the abortion if he would pay for new boobs for her, which Bonnie says is absolutely ridiculous. But even in her denials, it just doesn't totally ring true. We should point out that Frances, the wife, cannot get through a single sentence without heaving sobs every sentence she says.
But that's so, real to me. And Bonnie is Miss Alligator
can't
Tears.
Bonnie squeeze out a single drop of liquid.
She does at one point. There is one point when she squeezes out liquid, but it's really, it's the pretty crying. She has the tissue to dab it. And Frances is just balls to the wall, ugly crying. I don't care. I loved that man. Yeah, it's a little bit easier to believe.
Bonnie is like Lucille Bluth, and she's like, I simply can't spare the moisture. So she saves it all like for her day in court. Or her big moment of the interview. She's like, now is the part where I cry.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
She proceeds to cry.
I'm going to choose these earrings for my crying.
Right.
Because they accentuate the moisture.
Oh, she wore so many earrings. Big earrings.
Lot.
Yeah, lots of earrings. So Andrea offers in her kindness to clear up one of the issues in the discrepancies of the stories, which is, Bonnie, were you an exotic dancer? And Bonnie says, I worked at a strip club, yes. And Andrea pushes and goes, but as a dancer? Bonnie's like, yes, but everything else was, you know, ridiculousness, as she says. Ridiculousness. That's what I'm going to call this episode. So
ridiculousness.
Yeah, yes. Nothing else was true that she said. They say the stalking wasn't true, the boob job abortion wasn't true, nothing. That's a good title too, boob job abortion. So a week before the death, here's another creepy instance. Frances and Bill are trying to reconcile their marriage, so they meet at a hotel for a little, like, love counseling. I don't know. Did you just shake your shoulders like a little
Did you just say love counseling?
I just
counseling?
Said love counseling. Yeah.
That's not, they didn't have a third person there.
No,
that's
they not, were going to do the counseling betwixt themselves. That's what I felt like they were
love
doing.
Love counseling. You're trying so hard not to say any of the words that you find displeasurable. So you went with counseling.
Making the love.
The most clinical term.
So Bonnie shows up at the hotel and says that she's his wife and needs to see him, and the hotel security has to escort her out. Now, Bonnie says she might have been there, but she never said she was his wife. But that night is where things got really, really ugly between them, and this was a week before the death. This is when the text messages start. According to Frances, Bonnie started it and started sending photos of sex positions of her and Bill and saying, this is what your husband likes. This is what he does with me, etc. She even says, you stupid old person, which that is so like a 5-year-old retort. You stupid old person.
But Andrea says straight out that they cannot show a majority of these text messages because of how virile. And
yes, they show them and they're highly redacted. It's all blacked out.
So I think all they can show is you stupid old woman.
But stupid old person.
Or stupid
you
old person.
Stupid old person. That is seriously what a 4-year-old would say on the
it's
playground.
Pretty bad.
But the worst, the one that cut the most is so wrong to Frances, is that Bonnie called her a hollow bitch. Hollow because of her hysterectomy. Accompanied with a diagram from like WebMD, which I appreciate that she was clear. She was like, you know, because of your hysterectomy, here's a diagram of a hysterectomy. In case you didn't know, that's why I'm calling you hollow. Screen grabbed the picture of the scientific diagram.
Of the lady's internal reproductive organs.
Ladies' internal reproductive organs, yeah.
It's
and
mean.
She admits that she did send that and that it was cruel. She does admit that when Andrea calls her on it.
But then follows it immediately with, but I was defending myself. She said things to me too. I was defending myself.
Yes. She says, I was attacked first, and I'm going to attack back. And even Andrea says, but you're the mistress. You're the one having the affair. Why do you go after the woman who's married to the man? And she's like, because she attacked me first. So she says she never sent sex pictures. She sent butt pics of herself, of her booty, because Frances had said things like, her butt looked like an old saddlebag and looked like an old tire seat. These Latina ladies know how to cut with their words, right?
It's just so foolish. It's so much less than the reproductive organ.
Yes.
Picture. Just saying your butt looks like an old saddlebag is a Texas insult.
Bonnie probably takes a lot of pride in her butt. So that is the way to get to her.
Well, then this is part of Bonnie's problem.
Yes. Well, clearly, Bonnie is a shallow narcissist person. So Frances says, I never really sent nasty ones back, but mostly because I can't text as fast as Bonnie can because she's young and she knows technology. And
that was kind of funny.
It was very adorable. She says that Bill actually grabbed the phone out of her hand and texted some of that nasty stuff. But Bonnie refuses to believe that because she says that Bill would never disrespect her like that. So we really don't know if Bonnie was the insane stalker girlfriend that he couldn't get rid of, or if he was really in love with her and promised to divorce his wife and marry her. I mean, he was with her that day. She was driving the car. He had slept at her house. In all the photos, he looks joyfully happy to be with her.
He looks joyfully happy in every photo, to be fair. He seems like a very joyful, happy man. Okay, I think Bonnie is super stalker.
I think so too, but I don't think Bill was wanting to give her up because Hank said he was in it.
Yeah, I think he maybe wanted it to lessen it a little bit. I don't think he actually intended to leave Frances for Bonnie.
Okay, so the trial starts 3 years later. It takes so long. And the prosecutor plays a message that daughter Nikki left for Mistress Bonnie during the chase, which said, I told you to watch your back, you stupid slut. That sort of speaks to the intent of what was supposed to happen, was that someone was coming after Bonnie.
Right.
Now, the collision expert says that Frances definitely hit Bonnie several times. But the defense brings in a collision expert who says there's no evidence that the SUVs ever touched. And he brings out really very impressive looking toy cars to do some reenactments with the toy cars. Andrea is rapt with attention. He uses like a quarter as what the purse would be on the, which I don't feel like that's whatever. And he's like, see, if you hit the car, the purse goes flying towards the back, not the front. I can verify that I slam on my brakes all the time because I'm a terrible driver and my purse is constantly falling to the floor whenever I brake.
I agree. So, I feel the same.
Yes. So that does make sense to me, which would support Frances's story that Bonnie was brake checking constantly.
Her. Exactly.
And not being hit from behind.
Mm-hmm.
The other part that was false or didn't make a lot of sense in Bonnie's story was she says she saw Bill in between them and he was hit from behind and went flying. But the damage on his bike shows that he was hit from the side. But I feel like she was so verklempt in that instance and was probably confused. And out of your back mirror, you're not going to see as feel like he could have slipped to the side and then got hit pretty easily. I feel like that's maybe more of an honest mistake.
Yeah, he could have been trying to come around again.
Yeah.
Or been trying to get on the side of his wife to say, stop, right?
Yes, yes. Like he was doing the motorcycle thing where he was going in and out and trying to fix the situation. The defense says that the accident was just a tragic accident, that it wasn't on purpose. But the prosecutor is like, well, yes, of course, Frances hated Bonnie. We don't blame her for that. We hate her, too. She's totally hateable. But you can't go murder someone. The jury finds Frances guilty of murder and aggravated assault. But then comes the sentencing. This is where it gets really interesting. I guess in Texas, you can decide if you're going to be sentenced by a judge or a jury. And she decides to go with the jury, which is the same jury that found her guilty. They bring in this defense that I don't think you can use in every state, but you can use it in Texas. And it's called sudden passion. And that is when an anger takes over a normally sane person, like me when someone says, cool whip, and it makes them commit a homicide, but they wouldn't normally do it. They're seeing red. Like when my dog sees a big dog, you can't snap him out of that trance. He is in sudden passion.
Does it sound like a perfume?
Sudden passion.
Sudden passion by Givenchy.
Exactly. There we go.
Charlize
Theron is in the ad for it.
It's sudden passion, Dior, and she's in Paris under the Eiffel Tower.
Yes.
She sees another woman, and there's just a flash of red across the screen. Yeah, it's great. It's really good.
She's having croissants with butter, and
nope,
she
not
takes,
croissants.
I'm
not
doing because they're in France. Because okay. They're in France, and it's a Dior ad, and you know they would say croissants.
They would.
And she picks up the butter knife, and it was like sudden passion.
And it fades out. Sudden passion.
That's exactly.
What's your excuse?
Okay, we are madmen. We are advertising geniuses.
I know.
So even this was good that even the relatives of Bill plead for leniency for Frances, which I love when that mm-hmm. happens. And Frances takes the stand and she cannot get out a single word without sobbing. She's doing the sobbing thing. It works, though. The sudden passion defense and the massive crying works. She only gets 2 years in jail instead of what could have been life in jail. It's the minimum sentence that you could get. But Bonnie doesn't think that that's fair.
Of course not.
So Bonnie is
Bonnie's
suing.
Bonnie's a champion.
Yeah. Bonnie wants to get paid. So she is suing Frances for bodily injury to her boobs. I don't know. She did not appear to hurt herself. Emotional distress.
Bodily injury was dropped from the suit later.
Oh, okay. There.
So it's now it's
sense.
Just emotional distress because now sometimes she gets in the car and just starts crying.
Right.
Seriously.
She has PTSD from the accident. But more, she says that she really thought she was going to have a future with Bill as his sugar
baby.
Now that future has been robbed from her and she might have to get a real job. And that is emotionally distressing to her. So she's suing. So, someone on Twitter was like, Bonnie's going to have to sue everyone on Twitter for emotional distress. Because people on Twitter went after her.
Yeah.
So, yes, Frances says, I feel bad for Bonnie because she'll have to look the rest of her life to find a man that truly loves her. And I already had that. I had the love of my life for 30 years, and I'll never love another man because he was the best man there ever was. To which Andrea butts in and says, except he cheated on you.
Andrea, ruining the moment.
Thanks, Andrea. And Frances is like,
bring it back to reality. Bring it back
well,
to reality.
He had this much bad and this much good, years of good. Okay, Andrea, I contend with you that he did cheat on me, but it was mostly good. And she believes in her heart that he always loved her. He never would have left her. That's what she believes.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
I'm making keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Bravo Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
That is where we leave this episode. It is a traumatic, very exciting episode. What did you think? I had seen it before, except they added some new stuff, but I had seen at least two different episodes on this.
I've only listened to the 48 hours. I have something to add just about the jury finding with the 2 years. So the courtroom was apparently packed the entire time with Francis supporters.
Mm-hmm.
No one was there.
I think they even had matching t-shirts. I saw a couple people with some t-shirts. They wanted free Francis.
I guarantee you that's why the defense attorneys who we'll get to, who I really loved, I think that that's why they went for the jury picking the sentencing, because they were swayed by the amount of support in the courtroom. Bonnie was not there for, she was there for the day of the sentencing. She was not there for the verdict of guilty, but she was there for the day of the sentencing, surrounded by security. And I thought that was hilarious.
That should be her on Twitter all the time. Pearl is not well-liked.
Not likable in the episode.
No, and I think there was a real danger of someone not trying to kill her, but throwing an egg at her. That's the sort of thing she inspires in you.
Yeah,
you just kind of want to damage her fancy clothes or pull out one of her earrings.
Well, because her stuff was not cheap. She's in one of the things, she's wearing Tory Burch sandals, which are just hundreds of dollars. Or fake Tory Burch, who knows? I guarantee you she carries several fancy handbags. The little dog, not to offend you, because you also have a little dog, but you don't put little bows at the top of their head
with
the green bow.
Yeah.
There's a different kind of dog owner that does that. The dog is a status symbol.
No, my little dog is naked as the day he was born.
But also, your dog is your buddy. Her dog is a
pocket purse dog.
It's not a status symbol. And she's like, look at, I have to have
I have a
Paris
dog. Hilton little dog. Yeah.
Yeah. She would not have a golden retriever. She would not.
No,
also, do you think that Dateline was trying to pull the wool over our eyes on who was actually in prison? Think about it. Think about what Bonnie was wearing the entire episode is this blue denim shirt, which doesn't really look like something she would wear in real life. She's wearing a collared denim shirt. And then they have Francis in a white shirt. The only difference is that Bonnie insists on wearing a ton of jewelry. So
right.
Bonnie has these giant earrings on, but she's in what could be a prison blues.
Yeah, I didn't think of it because I already knew. And the trial was for Francis. But yes, they're for sure changing up the wardrobe. They were, and you know they had to beg Bonnie to wear that shirt that was toned down. And she's like, only if I can wear this earring. Only if I can wear these rings. She was not going to wear just a plain button down. She wanted to show off her boobies. Did you have
They weren't small to begin with. Don't forget.
Oh, yeah. No, they weren't. We know, Bonnie. Thanks for clarifying.
Don't worry about it.
That you were a medium B. We appreciate it.
What was your OMG moment? I want to know.
My OMG moment was the entire chicken on a stick, spinach festival, gorda, meaning chubby. That whole 5-minute section, my mouth was just to the floor. What is a spinach festival? What is chicken on a stick? Why is gorda a term of endearment? Then the boobs came into it, and she was only a small bee. Just so you know, she was not that small to begin with. That whole segment, I could watch on a loop and watch Andrea's reactions to all of those moments. Respectful Andrea having to listen to the mistress who refuses to be called a mistress talking about her boob job.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that they actually did meet at the spinach festival, or do you think that they met the night before at the strip club?
I think it's totally possible. And they are saying spinach festival. And she's like, I know it sounds so cheesy, you know? Such a meet cute at a spinach festival.
No.
You might have met at the strip club, and you're saying that it was a meet cute at a spinach festival.
And then you met up with him the next day at the spinach festival.
I think that's much more likely.
I think it's a lot more likely.
Yeah. I missed a classic Dateline moment, which was they did not bring Andrea to the side of the road where the scene took place for absolutely no reason whatsoever, which they usually do. They make her go stand outside on a street.
On a freeway.
yeah. on a freeway for no, it could be any freeway. We would not know mm-hmm. the difference. It could be any stretch of highway, but they always make her go and stand there and be like, so this is where it happened.
That's
but
true.
They didn't do that. I was happy for her. There was a good classic Dateline quote, which was the final chapter. Passion would write that one as well. So passion is capable of writing. It's an emotion that is able to become corporeal and pick up a pen and write a chapter of this love triangle saga.
It's a subject and a verb.
And it was beautiful. Yeah. Who were your MVPs of this episode?
By the way, just one quick other thing about Bonnie, that the reason I think they met at the strip club is because she never had to work a day after they met.
Mm-hmm.
She said her baby didn't want her to work, and he rented her that house that she lives in. Just saying.
He spent a fortune on her, which is makes me think he did not plan on giving her up.
Okay.
I mean, he spent...
No, he did. No, that's absolutely $1 million. True. Yeah, probably $1 million.
On my vacations and the ring and the boobs and the place to live
yeah.
in.
Yeah. My MVP in this was Lee Cutter and Jean Brown, who are the defense attorneys for Francis, because they are fancy pants, lady Texas lawyers. And I
okay,
loved
wait, was
them.
She really pretty?
The redhead. It was a redhead and a brunette. And they yes. were a dynamic duo. And they were hugging Frances and really supporting her and really on her team. They had big eyelashes. Big
oh my
jewelry.
God, the eyelashes I had to rewind. The yeah. redhead had oh, eyelashes yeah.
just
that were
for
took
days.
Up her whole face.
An
it was
inch
like
and a half
when
out.
She blinked, it was like it went down to her chin.
But they were fancy and they were good. And I liked that. And I think that they should also have a spinoff series. Also, I yeah. do want to say, I hope that they're still representing Francis in this other lawsuit, because Bonnie is suing her for $2.5 million, in case you didn't know.
Yeah, I did know. And she should be ripped apart for that. So I hope yeah. that they stay with her and fight yeah. it out, because she should not have to pay a freaking dime. Sell no. that ring and then you'll be fine. I don't know if I had an MVP of this week. I don't really, well, Bonnie's the loser, for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I didn't really like her bun. I didn't notice her sideburns until people on Twitter brought them up, and then I went back, and I was like, holy God, I was shook by those sideburns.
But I didn't see them.
There was one scene in particular where she's driving in her cheap car, which is not now a fancy car, because now Bill is dead, and they look like Elvis, for real. For real.
Aww,
so
that's bad.
I know. And she just came off as so insincere, entitled, and no.
So do you have precious moments or an alternative theory?
I mean, precious moments, no, I do not, because she cried so much.
She did. On, every really, moment was precious,
it,
I guess.
It kind of made, but it made it unprecious to me, was all the crying. I felt bad for her, but... It was way too much. Like, I thought she was going to hyperventilate with all the
she
cries.
Was.
And then she just couldn't really see that he was really two-timing her for a long time and spending all of their money on this other girl and still thought he was the best. And I kind of would be like, girl, just leave his ass.
But you
they had been together for 30 years.
Death.
Yes, that's true. And she had been with him since she was 16 years old. She had
that's
never
right.
known another love.
It was her true love.
Yeah. I mean, I would have liked to have felt more from the daughter. Like, I could have seen being upset that she lost her dad, but she didn't really seem... She was just so angry over the mistress. She didn't really...
I think she cared. I think she cared a lot. She said that they were best friends.
Best
but
friends.
Also, that must have been really complicated because he's cheating on your mom and they've been married all your life. That's a tricky thing to handle. Thank God she was an adult handling it and not
yes.
a teenager when all this came out, or, you know, a kid. That would have been way
Why
worse.
Why do you think the son didn't appear on the show?
The son and the daughter have legal issues between each other about the estate of the dad. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So the daughter's a gold digger too.
No, the daughter used some. So the trucking company had to file for bankruptcy, I'm assuming to help pay for the legal costs of Francis's defense and other things. And I think the daughter was using some of the assets of the trucking company. The daughter has started two new trucking companies. She's had
oh.
these other companies that I'm sure her dad helped her build. So I do think
oh.
her and her dad were close.
Good for
but
her.
The son actually sued her for using those assets. saying you can't take those assets. They're not, those trucks aren't yours, things like that. It was, you know, equipment and trucks and things like that. But I think they're working it out, but I don't know how tight they are. I think they're, I think the son probably just declined.
Wow. That's
but
a shame.
They are working it out. From what, from the latest thing that I read, they have a mediator and they're working
because
through it.
This is my parents' biggest fear. When it comes to my brother and I not getting along after they're gone, tears come to their eyes. And they say, this is our biggest fear, that you won't be there for each other, or that you'll fight over money, or that you just will lose touch with each other and won't stay in each other's lives without us there. It is their greatest fear. So they are constantly like, have you talked to your brother lately? Yeah. Yes,
that's
we're
funny.
Fine. We talk to each other. We get along. It's fine.
We're okay.
We're okay. The kids are all right.
Your parents. Your parents are sweet.
I know.
Oh, I do have one other tidbit if you want it. One more. Francis had actually filed a restraining order on Bonnie.
I think that
Bonnie stuff, that stalking stuff, is very real.
I think Bonnie was being a nightmare. Yeah. I tend to think it's real too, but I still don't think that Bill was being honest with her about breaking up with her. I think he was leading her on too.
I think so too.
And so she ends up looking crazy when privately he was telling her, no, we're going to get divorced. I'm going to marry you, you know? And then she ends up looking crazy for being so invested. So really? What about Joan Rivers Fashion Police? What do we have to say? Andrea looked great. Different colors. They had started off in a red, and there was a rose, and there was
and
a blue.
Dusty blue. Yeah.
Yeah.
So question for you. You said that this was an old Dateline episode. Is it possible that they had taken pieces of interviews from...
Yes.
Okay, so that might be why her palette was a little bit more... Yes. Where that red came from, or where one of those colors... Okay.
I am hoping that that is it, and that my theory holds up next time we see her.
Okay, we'll see.
Yeah,
maybe
we'll see.
She's listening. Andrea, if you're listening, first of all, let us know.
Yeah, let us know. I don't know if there's a palette. I could be making it up, but I really feel like...
I feel like there's been a distinct palette. I don't think you're wrong. I think you're on the right track.
What I want it, again, it always comes back to Seinfeld to me, is when George has a lot of luggage and Jerry says, we're going for 3 days. And George says, I happen to dress according to mood. And Jerry says, but seemingly you wear the same thing every day. And George is like, seemingly, but to the untrained eye... There are very specific details that reflect the many moods, the many facets of George Costanza. And Jerry goes, and what mood is this? And George goes, this is morning mist.
That is amazing.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that there's a morning mist phase of Andrea, and we're going to get these different phases.
I'm going to start texting you pictures every day in the morning of what I'm wearing, and I'm going to come up with
terms. This is morning mist. This is Sierra sunrise.
Yeah, this is Amber sunset.
Here's a question for you. On the day of the sentencing, it appeared that Francis was wearing some sort of animal print.
I don't think Francis owns anything but animal print. In almost every picture, she's in a zebra or a leopard or a... I think that is her jam. There are ladies that are animal print ladies. There are floral ladies. There are animal print ladies. There are monochromatic ladies.
Second lady in the audience of the courtroom wearing a cheetah print that same day. It just seemed to me counterintuitive to what they normally have someone wear when they're being sentenced. They normally make them look as docile, as feminine, as innocent as possible. Demure. Okay. They put a headband on young girls to make them look 12, even though they're 30. And she was like, animal print. I'm a lady. Sassy lady.
Do you think it even mattered what Frances wore? I think the defense attorneys were like, wear what makes you comfortable. And she got up there and cried.
Yeah, that's true.
Because she was real. She was a genuine person.
A woman sobbing that much could be wearing black latex. And we would still be like, oh, she's such a lady. Because she was crying
so much.
She's a mom.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely.
So that's true. No, that's true.
Also, no bad hair. No bad hair in this episode.
Nope. Do we have any alternate theories? I think we kind of discussed it.
I think we kind of covered it. Do you have any alternate titles?
Well, obviously, Sudden Passion.
Sudden Passion, yeah.
But also, I'm thinking that sort of sounds like a tea now that I think about it. Passion tea. And then I was thinking of Arizona iced tea, and then we're in Texas, Texas tea. So I haven't quite reached a conclusion there. I'm just spitballing off the top of my head, but that's sort of where my mind's going. Sudden passion fruit Texas tea or something.
You're getting there.
Yeah, I haven't really reached anything conclusive. Did you have any?
I had a couple. They're not that good. I had Knockin' Boots in San Antonio. Because the boots work.
Because the boots fell off.
And the boots fell off. Yeah. So I wanted to bring boots in. And then I wanted to do Nails in the Coffin, because what started the whole turn of events was her $100 manicure.
Oh my gosh.
So I did Nails in the Coffin. Mm-hmm. It was hard for me, this one. There were so many things that I wanted to be good. It's not. It's hard to come up with an alternative title when Collision
makes sense.
As you said, makes sense.
I would like to work in the boob job somewhere.
I would too. I was working.
Let's just call it a medium B in Texas.
Medium B. That's good. Boobs on a stick.
There you go.
We can do better. All right. If you've got better, send them in. We're accepting. Yeah. We're accepting applications. We're accepting suggestions this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lay them on us, Adam Swiderski. What do you got?
He was very quiet. I'm so sorry to tell you.
That
I know. He was not loving life this weekend on Twitter.
But Twitter was happy.
Twitter was so happy.
Okay, great. What do we have? This is my favorite.
Jana Liu, Team Francis just because of Bonnie's eyebrows. Thoughts? They were drawn on.
They were. Her whole face was drawn on. I don't have time for Bonnie. I don't have time to go into all of the ways that I feel
about
that Bonnie was trying to turn herself into a Kardashian.
Courtney, I will always care for that man until I find another man to bankroll my boobs. Elva Vasquez, Francis, breathe when you cry, vieja. Yeah, I really thought she was about to die. HD Geo, Bonnie, downgraded to a Honda. I see you, girl. Square Bear, did Bonnie cry at all? Asking for a friend. No. I don't think she did. You saw a tiny bit of moisture.
She did once. Yes, she did one time, because I wrote alligator tears and then had to delete it because I saw it and I was like,
damn it. You saw a real tear.
Yeah, I saw a real tear.
Katie, don't murder people in Texas and expect to get away with it. That's what Florida is for.
That's pretty good.
You're a lamb, my favorite. How do I tweet the defense attorney and ask where she got her lipstick? I don't know.
I hope you have any ideas.
Do you have any ideas?
No, but her name is, what's her name? Her name is Lee Cutter.
Okay, I'm sure you can find her then. Find that shade of lipstick.
Look it up. Maybe she does a makeup blog on the side. I bet she does. Bet you $100 she does.
V Butterfly 9, you go back to that spinach festival, Bonnie, which I think should be a new catchphrase. Instead of bye Felicia, go back to that spinach festival, Bonnie.
I think it's go back to chick on a stick.
Go back to chick on a stick, Bonnie. Raina, shout out to Dateline for still calling Bonnie a mistress in your recap, even though she doesn't like that word. They kept referring to her as the mistress, and you know there was an F you to her. The editors were like, nope, we're still calling her. Nope.
We're still doing it. Nope, we're doing it.
Yeah. Keisler Soze, another one of my favorites. Okay, Dateline peeps, Bonnie doesn't like the term mistress. How would you characterize her? The choices are side hoe, gold digger, hood rat, ho for show.
Ho for show.
It was a three-way tie. Hood rat got the least.
I thought hood
side
rat was pretty good.
Gold digger, ho for show.
All of them.
All of them are great. And my last tweet, Erica Fisher. I don't speak a lot of Spanish, but I believe Bonnie es la cucaracha. It means cockroach. I thought it meant crazy, and then I was like, oh, that's loco. Bonnie es loco. No, Bonnie is la cucaracha. Bonnie is a cockroach. That's what that little song is, la cucaracha. It's little cockroaches dancing song.
I know what it is.
Yeah.
It's a cockroach?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
We're learning things.
They're dancing.
On Date with Dateline tonight.
I know. So what was your ratings? How many cell phone pings out of 5 do you give this episode?
Also, apologies for last week not doing our cell phone ping ratings. I know everyone waits for them the entire episode. Just waiting.
We got thousands of hate tweets going, I waited all week.
Thousands.
And you let me down.
No, I gave this a 4.3. I really liked this episode out of 5 cell phone pings. It was great. It was a fresh, new episode. Even though I knew the story, I still liked it. I thought they did a great job with it in an hour. It was really good.
I agree. I'm giving it 4 cell phone pings out of 5. I think we only have things in the news. It's in the news. I just want to say that Katie and I watched Grey Gardens and saw a musical tribute to Grey Gardens called Gaga Gardens that was set to Lady Gaga music, and it was hilarious. But mainly, I think all Dateline viewers should watch the original documentary Grey Gardens, because that is a Dateline murder about to happen if you've ever seen one, and I'm shocked that it didn't end in a double suicide.
It's fascinating.
It was fascinating. Our jaws were on the floor the whole time. Yeah. These are real people. Watch Grey Gardens.
You will not regret it.
No. Follow us on Twitter, please, and Instagram and Facebook. We have a new Facebook page that Katie's working on. And subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us a review. We finally got some reviews. People seem to like us.
And thank you so much for everybody who's left a review. Oh, and we also should note, also in the news, that I know it's early, but we will, starting in September.
No, you have to go, it's in the news.
I don't know what that's from, though.
Saturday Night Live.
Oh, it's in the news.
Yep, that's great. You did great. Okay, cool.
So, starting in September, we will be doing another podcast about the Law & Order True Crime series, the Menendez murders. We will be covering that, and we will be adding another host to our team. More about that person later. But anyways, keep an eye out for that. It's coming as soon as we think of a clever name for what it's our recap's going to be called, because we got it. If you have any ideas, let us know.
A date with Menendez. That would be plural.
We're gonna hash this out off air, so that's good.
I thought it was great on air. Don't watch alone, everybody. Watch with us and Bonnie and her top bun. God. Okay, bye.
Prostitution whore! Bye.